Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Happy Mother's Day to all of our moms in here today. Happy Mother's Day to you. And I always say this, you know, Mother's Day can be a tough day for some of us, and maybe your mother's already gone on to be with the Lord, or, you know, maybe life didn't work out exactly the way that you planned it to when it comes to children. And I always just say that no matter who you are, if you're a woman in here today, I believe you mother someone. Amen? You mother someone. You might mother four-legged kids, kittens, or puppies, or I'm sure that you mother somebody. And so Mother's Day is for all the ladies in here today. We want to say happy Mother's Day to you. Amen? We got some fun things planned today. In a little while, we're going to have all the little kids come in, and they're going to sing an original song for you. And I'll tell you, we had a showstopper first service. I don't know if she's going to be back second service, but she was awesome. You know, she was awesome. She's going to be a performer, I think. She was great. Who was in first service inside? She was pretty good, right? But anyway, we're going to have a lot of fun today, and it comes with our series that we're doing. It's called My Church. How many people ask you about your church? You need to have a good answer for them. You need to be able to talk about your church. You're part of this church. You're part of the body, and that means you're part of just something that's living, it's breathing. We are the body of Christ, and God has called us here. The Bible says that God places those in the body as it pleases Him, and so you want to go to church where God tells you to go to church. Amen? And so we've been talking these last few weeks about my church. The first week we said, my church empowers people. And that's very important to us. We want you to know that at BVC, you are called to be a minister. We're all ministers together. It's not just the front row who are ministers. It's not me that's the minister. We are the minister. Amen? And somebody says, hey, who's the minister at your church? You need to look at them and say, I am. Amen, I am. Because we're all ministers. We're all here to do the work of the gospel. And so you don't have to be perfect. Look at your neighbor and say, that's good for you. That works out good for you. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be super spiritual. Sometimes it's the people who are super spiritual that are just like, whoa, right? You know, whoa, just hold off a little bit there. And so you don't have to be super spiritual. You don't have to know all the books in the Bible. Now look at the other person and say, that's good for you, right? You know, there's no test. We're not going to test you. You don't have to have a bunch of scripture memorized or anything like that. You just have to. The Bible says when you're ready to put Him first and do it His way, you're ready to be in the ministry. Amen? And so we put Jesus first here. We do it His way, and that empowers us. It empowers us to do what He's called us to do. Then last week, I said in first service, I think last week was the best sermon I ever preached. If you weren't here, I got one question for you. Where were you? I was at my best. Where were you?
Tampa.
All right. But it's not the same, but it's a close second. But last week, I taught on my church. This is something so important to us as a church, because every church distinguishes itself. How many know there's a lot of great churches? There's a lot of great churches with great pastors filled with great people, and every church distinguishes itself. You got to do what God's called you to do at your church. Amen? But one thing that's super important to us here as a church, it's always been important to us. Pastor Mark founded this church. It was important to him. It's important to us. And that is my church encounters God. Amen. My church encounters God. We're not here to do the practice of church. We're here to have an encounter with God. Amen. And so whenever it starts becoming just routine, where you're like, okay, it's the second song, I'm going to go in. As soon as Pastor Peggy says this, I'm going to pack up all my stuff because it's almost time to go. You know, we don't want to be in a routine where it's just, you know, we're coming in and going through the motions. That's not what church is for. Church is to have an encounter with God. Amen? Church is to come in expecting the Word of God to penetrate your heart and to bring health to you. The church is for us to meet God, to be let, you know, these guys aren't entertainers up here.
That's right.
They're not entertainers. You know, I always find it very it bothers me, but I'm just like, all right, that's your deal. Sometimes you just have to say, that's your deal. This is my deal, right? You're going to do that your way. We're going to do what God tells us to do. But when churches play secular music, do you know what secular music is? It's like a journey song. I mean, who loves a good journey song? I love a good journey. Somebody like, I don't know what to say. I don't want to say yes. And then her be like, oh, that's unspiritual. No. Who doesn't love Can't Stop Believing, right? I mean, come on. You know, I mean, I always think of John Clark when I hear that song because we would always sing it at karaoke night together. And, you know, I mean, you've got to have a good friend who will just, you know, grab the hairbrush or the ketchup bottle, whatever you got, and just go for it with a good journey song, right? But this is not a place for journey songs because these guys are not entertainers. I mean, let me tell you something. Pastor Scott can do some journey, you know? I mean, he can. That's not his favorite, though. Who's your favorite? No, not Rush. Not Rush. But, you know, he can do that hard rock. You know, he can do all that. And he can wow us, and we could all sing along and get our app out with the lighter on it and do this. We could all do that. But this isn't the place for that because these guys aren't, they're not performing for us. They're leading us. They're leading us into the presence of God. That's what worship is. And when we worship God, the Bible says it opens up our hearts. It softens our heart for the word of God to come and be able to go into our heart. Amen? That's what worship's about. And so, you know, that's their deal. But for us, I don't want to be entertained at church. I want to have an encounter with God. I mean, we got entertained. A bunch of us went to see Captain America. It was very entertaining. But it did not bring health to my body. Amen? It did not change my soul. It did not. It didn't do what Jesus does for me. And so you're not here to be entertained. You're not here to you know, always be made to feel good. Sometimes the word of God, man, when he's straightening you out, it's painful. Right? But that's what church is for. Church affects me. I say this. Church days affect all your days. Because what you hear here influences Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. What we do here is supposed to change my life. This is church. So I'm not here to clock in and clock out. You're not here to clock in and clock out. We're here to have an encounter with God. And that's why here at BBC, we have an agenda. We have a plan because God blesses a plan. But I tell you, if the Lord says, hey, go this way, there's somebody that needs to hear this, guess which way we're going. We're going that way because we want to do what God has for us to do. My church encounters God. And then today, you guys ready for part number three? Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm going to go preach over here. I'm going to go preach over here. Woo! And this is exactly what my church is about. My church enjoys life. Amen. My church enjoys life. I don't know about you, but I've been to some churches where it's just like, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus, right? It's just, I mean, it looks like everybody is just enduring it. Church is not something you endure. Church is something you enjoy. Life is something you enjoy. And so for us as a church, one thing that's very important to us, and we decide what kind of church we're going to be. And when we say my church, we want to be able to say, my church enjoys life. Amen. We enjoy life. Church should be fun. Yeah. Because if you think of Jesus in the New Testament, you know, he was pretty fun. You know how I know he was fun? Because all the partiers were really drawn to him. Amen. The people that were having the party, they were like, hey, is Jesus coming? You know, invite Jesus. Because Jesus loved people. He was fun. And here's how we know that Jesus was a fun person is because kids loved him. The Bible talked about the kids being on him and the disciples like, oh, you know, scream, kid. But no, and Jesus was like, no, let them come to me. Let them come to me. That showed me that they wanted to come to him. How many know when kids love somebody, when kids are drawn to somebody, it's not because they're like, you know, with a wagging finger and a barking thing and no fun. Kids don't like that. And here's the thing about little kids. If they don't like you, they're not going to come. They haven't learned that politeness, like, hello, how are you? They're just like, wah, you know? They're not into that. And kids love Jesus. Why? Because Jesus enjoyed life. And so our text scripture for this whole series has been found in Daniel chapter 6, verse number 3. And it says, now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. When we grab a hold of the qualities of the Word of God, the qualities of God, God will bring influence into your life. And that's true at church, that's true wherever you go. And when we say my church enjoys life, when you start enjoying life, believe me, your coworkers are going to be really happy. Your family is going to be really happy. You're going to be the one that people want to work with because you enjoy life. Anybody ever had to work with somebody that just as soon as you got to them, it's like they like something just happened and they just started sucking the life right out of you. Right? Don't look around. Do not look around. It's Mother's Day. Don't look around. The Bible says that Christians are supposed to be known for their joy. That's supposed to be a distinguishing characteristic of us, that we have joy. But how many have ever met some Christians that just, that is not the case? Sometimes Christians, thank you, Brother Lee, right down here. How many remember Brother Lee who's come here years ago? Whenever we say, he would say,
met one.
You ever met a Christian that just had no joy? I've met a few. Sometimes people think they get a religious idea because you know who didn't like Jesus? Religious people. Religious people didn't like him. Because sometimes we can get caught up in this religious lie that says if I'm really enjoying life, it's not holy. It's not holy. To be holy, how many think like if you think of holiness, you think of like somebody all buttoned up, you know, just like, you know, that's what we think of holiness. And so when we start enjoying life, some people are like, well, that's not church. And we need to look at them and say, well, that's my church. Amen. My church enjoys life because my church wants to look like Jesus, sound like Jesus, and be like Jesus. And Jesus enjoyed life. Amen? And so we can look here, just so you know I'm not making this up, just so I can have a good time, because I do like to have some fun, but over in John chapter 10, verse number 10, look over there. You can follow along in your Bible app. Let's take Jesus' word for it. John chapter 10, verse number 10, we're going to read it out of the Amplified. And it says, the thief comes, that's the enemy, the thief comes only, say only.
Only.
This is the only reason he comes. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. So when we think about church, church should be fun. Life should be fun. We need to enjoy life. And if you're here today, you're saying, Peggy, you don't know what kind of life I've got. That's why Jesus came. All those problems that are ticking off in your head right now, well, this happened to me, and 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 that's why I don't enjoy life. Jesus is talking to you, and he said, that's why I came.
Amen.
I came to heal you. I came to restore you. I came to redeem you. I came to set you free. I came so that you could have life and enjoy it. That's why I came. And so when you think of all the reasons why you can't enjoy life, oh, my childhood, this loss, this happened. Jesus is saying, that's why I came. I came to heal you. I came to restore you. I came to mend your broken heart. I came to straighten out your crazy. That's why Jesus came, so that he could fix all that stuff, all that list you just clicked off. He came to help you with that. He came to heal you from that. He came and brought his power to change that. Amen? And so we can't say, oh, I can't enjoy life. I can't. What are you, crazy? I can't enjoy life. Look at this. Okay, I work alone, all right? That's why Jesus came, amen? That's why he came, so we could have some fun, so we could enjoy life. You know, all that anger and all those issues, Jesus is like, man, you're never going to enjoy life with that. Never. That's why he came, so that you could have life and enjoy it. It's holy to enjoy life. Amen? The more joy you have, really, the holier you are. Because the joy of the Lord is for us. It's our strength. And so when we think about this, we've got to realize that to enjoy life, there are some things we need to do. Jesus did his part. Now I got to do my part. There's always a part for me to play. Jesus did the heavy lifting. He did the hardest part. He made the way and supplied the power for me to change some things in my life. That's because he loves us so much. And so when it comes to having that life and enjoying it, you know, how many have heard that your glass is half full or half empty? That's totally unscriptural. My glass is full. What did he say? He said, you could have it to the full till it overflows. I'm not supposed to be half anything. We are full. We're supposed to be so full of joy and the Lord that whenever we're around people, it just pours over onto them. Amen. How many have ever had a glass that's just overflowing? What happens? It goes all over the place. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go all over the place. Yep. Right? With the joy of the Lord, the love of God, and all the good stuff. We're not supposed to be sourpusses. We're not supposed to be jerks. We're not supposed to be angry all the time. Right. That's not what Jesus came to do. How many know my favorite saying? That's not how this works. Sometimes people tell me they're a Christian, and I'm like, I don't think you read the book. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. Jesus came so that I could have life and life to the full. Amen. Until it overflows. Amen? So how do we do that? You're sitting here and you're like, well, how do I do that? Number one thing we got to do, we got to kind of change our perspective on some things. We got to make a decision that we love life, that we just love it. Life isn't something you endure. It's something you live and enjoy. And with Jesus, that's how it's going to be. The Bible tells us in John chapter 15, verse number 11, it says, I have told you this so that my joy, whose joy? Jesus' joy. He says, my joy may be in you. And that your joy may be complete. Here's the thing we got to learn. Joy and happiness are two different things. Happiness is on the outside. It's external. And here's the thing about external things. They're always temporary. Always. They don't last. But when it's the internal, that's joy. That's that joy that God gives. That's that when we have what makes us unhappy and what makes us sorrowful and what makes us not enjoy life is that we got holes in here. Just stuff we're lacking. Just stuff that's happened to us. Things that, you know, abuse that's occurred or, you know, life and just issues. You know what I'm saying? We just got stuff going on in here. And it's on the inside and it affects everything. But Jesus comes. And he puts that joy in us. And then my joy is complete. Why? Because it's like he pours his anointing, pours that the oil of the Holy Spirit. He pours it into us and it fills up all those holes. It fills up all those holes. And what used to be an aching, gaping hole in our life, Jesus just pours it in there, fills it. That's joy. And that's what God has for you. So how do we get that? We make a decision. I'm going to love life. And I'm going to let God love me. I'm going to let God love me. So often we got these walls up because of things that have happened to us. We just got to put those walls down and say, all right, Lord, do what you do. Love me. Fill me with your joy. I don't want temporary joy. That's happiness. I don't want that. I mean, I have that. You know what I mean? I want somebody to last. It's going to change me from the inside out. And how does that happen? It happens when Jesus comes and you let him in. A lot of times people, you've let Jesus be your savior, you're born again, but he's not your Lord. Ooh. Everybody's like, what? Here's what that means. You want to be born again because you want to go to heaven. And you want to have God that you can turn to. We all do. But you don't want God to be your Lord. Because when you let God be your Lord, you say, not my way, but yours. Your way. And when we constantly resist God, there's a constant pull, and we don't want to just let God do what God does. God heals. God restores. God fills us with his joy. God takes fear and removes it because his perfect love comes in. And the Bible says his perfect love cast out all fear. And so when I let God love me, when I say, Lord, I don't want just fire insurance. I don't want to just be like, yeah, I'm saved, but I do my own thing. Yeah, I'm saved, but I do whatever I want to do. No, I'm going to let God be my Lord and my Savior. Amen. And when I do that, it puts that wall down, and his perfect love comes rushing in, and all that fear goes rushing out. Amen? Perfect love casts out fear. The more you let God love you, the less fear you're going to have in your life. And fear shows up in different ways. Fear isn't sitting in a corner going, and somebody go, boo. You know? That's getting scared. Fear is that naggingness that something's wrong, nothing's going to work right. That naggingness, that shame of, oh, I'm going to get caught because of all this stuff. It's just that nagging feeling that something's not right. It's a fear. That naggingness, I'm going to lose everything. People are going to find out about me. Listen, God already knows about you, and he loves you. Amen? And all that fear can be cast out. But you got to let his love in. Mm-hmm. And we do that by just saying, Lord, come be my Lord. Come be my Lord. I want to do it your way. Not mine, because my way got me here. I want your way in my life. We got to love life. Amen? We can learn so much from Paul. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, most of which he wrote while he was in jail. And he wasn't at like a cushy jail where they had AC and all that. No, he was like in a dungeon jail. And he wrote most of the New Testament while he was there. Paul had such a good attitude. He had the joy of the Lord that no matter what anybody said, he was okay. And that's what happens when you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. No matter what happens, you're like, I'm going to be all right. When they told Paul, we're going to behead you, he said, okay, because when you behead me, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. When they said, we're going to put you in jail, he's like, I got Galatians to write. Go ahead. It's fine. You know? I mean, he just had such a great attitude. And in 2 Corinthians 6:10, he said, he was sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich. I love this next one. Having nothing, and yet possessing everything. Isn't that so good? You know, the other day we were at prayer, and we were standing around talking and joking afterwards, and sometimes you ever say something, you think, man, that was so good. That was so good. It's just the Holy Ghost. He makes us smarter than we are. Look at your neighbor and say, that's good for you. That's good for you. The Holy Ghost makes us smart. He brings godly wisdom into our life. And so we're here, we're joking, and so somebody said, it was Marisol. She goes, that's why you get the big bucks to me. So I laughed like that, you know. So I laughed and I said, in heaven. And then I said, and that's where it really matters. Ever since I said that, I've been thinking about it. Because I never really thought about that. And the Lord just said, I mean, that is where it really matters. And that's why Paul could say, having nothing, yet possessing everything. Because God wants us blessed, and there's nothing wrong with being blessed. There's nothing wrong with driving a great car and living in a nice house and being blessed. There's nothing wrong with that. But there are times when there are things that you want that are on your list that you're not going to have. And in those times when we lack, in those times when things aren't working out, in those times when we feel like, I don't have anything, Paul says you can know that you have everything. Because we may not have it here, but we have it where it matters. Amen? We got it where it matters. It matters in heaven. Here's the thing about heaven. It's eternal. Eternal. Sometimes we need to let that sink in. You know, if we live to be 90, if we live to be, 100, that is, the Bible says, a vapor compared to eternity. What I do here on this earth determines how I live there. We're all going to be blessed there. But there's going to be some grandmas, some praying moms, and they're going to have some big old houses. And we're going to be like, man, how'd you get that? I don't even know your name. They're the ones that put it where it mattered most. And so that's why Paul could say, having nothing but possessing everything. It's that joy brings contentment. Joy brings a sense that no matter what's going on, God's got me. No matter what's going on, I'm okay on the inside. And it moves out to the out. I'm going to be okay. That's the joy of the Lord. And that's how you enjoy life. You got to love it first. You got to count it as a gift. Life is a gift. And sometimes we forget that. It's not a prison sentence. It's not an endurance race. It is a gift from God. We are here for Him. Amen? Number two thing that we got to do to really enjoy life. This is important to us as a church. Very important to us. You got to love people. You cannot enjoy life if you don't love people. Now, there are some people that are very difficult to love. I mean, they just, how many met one, right? There are some people that are just like, oh, help me, Jesus. But here's the thing you always have to remember. When people are ugly or they're just mean and spiteful, and sometimes you ever like hear about something somebody did and you're just like, what is wrong with people? Here's what's wrong with people. You always have to remember this. They lack God. And there's an enemy. That's what's wrong with them. They don't have God. And there's an enemy trying to destroy their life. And they don't have the power to fight it. Hurting people hurt people. And when someone is hurting us, and they're making it tough to love them, you know, I mean, I just have this thing that I do where when I'm talking to them or they're talking to me usually, I just kind of on the inside, I don't do it on the outside, but just on the inside, I just picture myself doing this. Because I'm just reminding myself, it's not you. You're a hurt person. Life has hurt you. And you're lashing out because you're hurt. And I know the author of this is not you. It's the enemy behind you. He's just using you to try to hurt me. And so that makes me love that person. Because I recognize you're acting out because you're hurt. Because somebody hurt you. And now the enemy is just, you ever have like a sore or something and then somebody steps on it and then it hurts like worse? That's what the enemy does with hurt feelings and hurt people. He just kind of stands on them and does this. And then they're just used by him. So you just kind of got to subconsciously be like, it's not you. You I love, but the guy behind you, I hate. Because that's the enemy. But hurting people hurt, but you can't enjoy life without loving people. Because how many realize there's a lot of people? There's a whole lot of people. There's a whole lot of people. And some of them really get on our nerves. You got to love people. And the Bible talks about it. In John chapter 15, verse number 11. He said this. Wait. I'm messing up. 1 Peter chapter 3. I was right. In the Amplified, it says, for let him who wants to enjoy life. How many want to enjoy life? Yeah. How many want to see some good days? I like what Peter says. Good, whether apparent or not. Some days don't look good, but you got to trust God's going to make it good. Amen. Amen? He said, keep his tongue. If you want to enjoy life and you want to see good days, you got to keep your tongue from evil and his lips from guile, which is treachery and deceit. What he's saying is don't join in. Don't join in to the ugliness of the world. If you want to enjoy life, if you want to see good days, don't join in and say, well, if you can't beat them, join them. No, you can beat them, because love always wins. Always wins. It may not look like it in the moment, but it's not in the moment that matters. It's at the finish line that matters. Amen? And at the finish line, love will always win. Always. Sometimes we want to fight that battle. We're like, oh, it's on. It's on. Right? You're like, oh, no. You said what? You want to roll up your sleeves and you just want to, it. But you got to step back and say, I'm going to love you because this moment doesn't matter. The finish line matters.
Amen.
Amen? Sometimes we're so caught up in being right, we forget we're righteous. Amen? We got to love people. And then next verse here. In 1 John chapter 3, verse number 18. It says, little children, let us stop just saying we love people. Let us really love them and show it by our actions. Wow! Happy Mother's Day! They didn't just say it, they showed it, amen? Those guys have been working for the last couple of weeks to get some moves, and they did. I want to thank Noah Jacobs. He was the choreographer, you could tell. They wanted to do something special for the moms. I was like, let's go for it. So they did a great job. That was awesome. But, you know, that's the thing. It's easy to say stuff. How many figured that out? It's easy to just be like, God loves you. God loves you. Oh, he loves you so much. I'll see you next week.
See you.
Right? That's easy. But you know, my church enjoys life. And in order to enjoy life, we have to love people. You know, I love my church so much. I brag about you guys to everybody who will listen. Because every church, trust me when I tell you, is not like this church. When I think about our church and I think about our pie auction that's coming up, It constantly amazes me and everybody that we tell. Every year, Pastor Angel, who's teaching a Thrive class back there, he tells everybody at camp, and all the people are always like, how do you guys do that? We do it because my church loves people. We don't just say we love people. We show it with our actions. And so when you think about, like, when we do our pie auction, if you don't know what that is, every year, we're going to do it on June 5th. Every year, we do a pie auction. We just call it that, even though there's not just pies. And every year, we raise money for all of the youth to go to camp. Last year, we raised over $15,000 in a couple of hours. And you think, who does that? My church. My church. And I love when people say, oh, did so-and-so write a check? Did they just write a check? You know, like one person wrote like 14,900 of it. And the rest of us just barely gave $100. That's how they act. I love when somebody says that so I can give them a big Holy Ghost, ha! On the inside, of course. I do that on the inside. And I say, no, it wasn't one person. It wasn't two people. It's all, the thing I love about our pie auction and in everything we do, that it's not one person, it's not two people, it's everybody. You know, one person to give 25, the next to give 50, somebody to give 100, somebody to give 1,000, somebody to give 25. You know, it's everybody does what they can. That's what the Bible says. It says, as you are able, you give.
Yes.
And that's what we do. It's amazing to me. Every year, I sweat it a little bit, every year. I got to be honest with you. And then I remind myself, no, God is faithful. Always works out. And I just, you know, but everywhere I'm just like, oh, are we going to be able to do it again? You know? And the enemy would be like, oh, you did it last year. People don't have any money this year. You know? And it's always a lie because it always works.
Yes.
It's amazing to me what my church does. And you need to say that. It's amazing what your church does. Because it's not one person. It's all of us. We don't just say we love people. We put it into action. You know, we've adopted a young girl. I believe she's, is Maya in here? She's 16, right? She's 16, and she has two children. Now, it's easy to say, girl, what were you thinking? That's easy. It's easy to say, you know what, that baby's cute and Jesus loves you, and walk away. That's easy. But you know what our church does? We just delivered our first load. Somebody say first. Because every month, we're going to deliver a load of stuff to her. Because you know what? It's easy to say, God loves you. God loves you. Oh, God forgives you. God loves you. That's easy. But you know what? That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to show it and give diapers. Amen? We're supposed to show it and give formula and give clothes and give a bassinet and give a crib. We're supposed to take care of her. That's what we're supposed to do. The Bible says perfect religion is taking care of the orphans and the widows. And if you're not doing that, don't tell me what else you're doing. I don't care what else you're doing. Because if you're not doing that, then what else? It doesn't really, because then you're just talk. And I don't want to ever be just talk. Because you cannot enjoy life if all you do is talk. You can't do it. True joy comes when we love people, when you love them. And so we delivered our first load to this young girl. We don't even know her. We don't even know. I've never seen her. I've never met her. Doesn't matter. One of the young guys at church, you know, one of the young adults, he comes walking in the other day. He's got this big old box. I'm like, what is that? He's like, I took the most expensive thing off the list because I wanted to bless this girl. He never met her. Will never meet her. Doesn't make like a whole ton of money, but did that. That's love in action. Amen? So what kind of church does that? Say my church. My church does. We don't just talk about it. We do it. And sometimes we can get into the wrong mindset of if we can't adopt a whole group of pregnant young girls, we don't want to do anything. No, we can do one. But isn't one better than none? Sometimes you don't do anything because you can't do everything. That's wrong. We got to do what we can for who we can. Amen? And that's how you love people. And here's the thing. If you want to enjoy life, you got to forgive people. And here's the thing about forgiveness. The word forgive is like two words, for and give. If you can't give to someone, you're not in forgiveness with them. And a lot of times that giving forces the forgiveness. Because you're stepping out in faith. You're saying, I don't feel like doing this. I don't want to do this. But I'm going to forgive you in Jesus' name. And when you give to them, it forces forgiveness to flow through you. Because a lot of times we got to step out on that water before anything happens. So I encourage you in here today. One of the reasons why you may not be enjoying life is because you got a big old grudge against somebody. And you say, well, they don't know I have it. Send them something anonymously. Put it in an envelope. Put it in the mail. Send them something. Bless them. Give them something.
Amen.
Because you're forcing that forgiveness. And it's going to help you enjoy life. Amen? Next thing you got to do this. If you want to enjoy life, you got to love life. You can't look at it as an endurance. Like, ugh. No, you got to change your attitude. You got to love people. And the last thing, you got to love God. Ecclesiastes 2:25 says this, because no one can eat or enjoy life without him. You cannot enjoy life without God. You can for a little while, because even the Bible says that sin is fun for a season. And whenever people tell me that they don't have fun sinning, I'm just like, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, right.
you're not sinning properly, because sin is supposed to be a little fun. But some of you are like, what? The Bible says it. But here's the thing, that seasons change. And sometimes we can fool ourselves into thinking like, oh, this is more fun than living for God. This is more fun. This is better. I don't have all that. I can't do. Listen, when you really love God and you let him love you, it changes it from what I can't do to what I get to do.
Amen.
There is nothing that I can't do that I want to do. Nothing. Because I want to live for God more than any of those other things. Why? Because I love him and he loves me. But sometimes we can fool ourselves into thinking you can live without God. And in the moment, it looks like it's working. It does. But here's the thing, that moment ends. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. There is a cost to pay to live without God. Either you're going to pay it, or you're going to let Jesus pay it. But don't fool yourself into thinking you can enjoy life without him. You might be able to for a little while, but I'll say for myself, I can speak from experience, that little while ends. And that's when all the cleanup begins. That's when all the damage is noticed. When you're numb to everything because you've filled yourself up with so much junk or so many people, you're numb. But when reality begins to set in and you begin to see the damage you've done to your life, to your body, to your soul, that's when you realize how much you need God. But thank God he's right there. Amen? Thank God he's right there. The Bible says no one can enjoy life without him. It says over in Psalms 36:9, it says, you, talking about God, are the giver of life. Your light lets us enjoy life. The sooner we realize that, the less repair we're going to need. Amen? But I want to encourage you. No matter where you are, God loves you. God's got a plan for you. God's not wagging his finger at you. That's what religion does. Religion wags its finger and points out all your mistakes and your wrongs. But love says, come. Jesus said, come. All who are heavy laden with burdens. He said, come. And what's the rest? And I will give you rest. Jesus isn't wagging his finger at you. He's opening his arms to you. Amen? He's saying, come. I know you're hurt by the world. Come. I know life hasn't been fair. Come. He wants to give you rest. He wants to give it, and he's the only one who can. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for every person here who needs to come. Maybe come to you for the first time. Maybe come to you because they're like David. They've lost the joy of their salvation. They've lost the joy of life. Lord, I pray that whoever needs to come will come to you right now. If you're here today with every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you're here and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've never received the gift of eternal life and forgiveness. That's what Jesus has for you. But you have to take it. Just like any gift, if I were to have a gift for you but you walked out without it, the gift would still be here. But you wouldn't have it. That's how Jesus is. You got to receive and take the gift of forgiveness, of redemption, of being restored and healed and helped and made whole. That's what Jesus has for you. But you must take it. Or you're here today and you're like David. You knew God. You're like I was. You knew God. But you lost the joy of your salvation. You forgot just how good God is. You started doing things your own way. But today, you want to come home. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you today, you say, Peggy, I want to come to the Lord today. I want to receive the gift of salvation. Would you raise your hand up? Because when you raise your hand, you raise your heart. I see your hand. I see your hand, honey. Anybody else? I see you over here. Anybody else? Or maybe you're here today and you say, I've been there, done that. I already walked down the aisle. I've even been baptized. But I'm not enjoying life. Because I've set God over here and I'm way over here. But today I want to come home. I say this all the time, it will never not be true. You can go 1,000 steps away from God, but he's always one step back. If you're here today and you say, I need to step back. I need to step back into the love of God, the arms of God. I need Jesus. I see your hand. Anybody else? Say, that's me. I see your hands back there. Oh, I see your hand, honey. See your hand. I see your hand. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Let's pray for all those who raise their hand.
Father, we just come boldly. Boldly before the throne of grace. It's not a throne of achievement or merit or behavior. It's a throne of grace. I get to come because of what Jesus did, not because of what I've done. And so I come boldly, Lord. We come boldly. And we ask for your forgiveness. We ask for your restoration. We receive you as our Lord and our Savior. Let's all say this prayer together. Say, Father God, I repent. I turn my back on a life without you. From this moment forward, you are my Lord and my Savior. I choose your way. And I open the door of my heart. And I say, come in. Have your way. Have your way in me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isn't God so good? He's so good. We have something special for you guys. Don't leave yet. We got a different service today.